This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. The segment brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection, 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. Carburetor Fuel Injection Distributor, they do it all. Also, Black Forest Motorsports. If you've got a BMW, Mini, or Porsche, blackforestautomotive.com is where you need to be. Awesome service, 40 years in the business. Either one of these shops are awesome. You can't go wrong. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on my show. Hey, I had a lot of people talk to me last week about the blind racer, Dan Parker. So I decided to go ahead and run that interview one more time.
Hi, folks. Well, have I got an interesting interview for you today. I've got Dan Parker on the line. Dan Parker is a racer. And he's been, hey, Dan, how long have you been racing cars, I guess it's been?
Well, I'm about to be 50 years old. I ran my first drag race when I was 8 years old in the mini bike class.
You didn't sound 50 years old. That's amazing. So you started out in drag racing, and then what did you move into?
That's what I've done my whole life. I'm a second-generation racer. My father, Jimmy, is 76 years old, still races NHRA Stockholm every day. My mother was 8 months pregnant with me and won a drag race, so I literally grew up at the drag strip and been involved with it basically my whole life.
That is a great – I hope you're doing a book.
I need to. Everybody says I need to write a book.
Yeah, well, you can't do it. You just got to sit down and talk to somebody. That's the best way to do a book in my world. But what's unique about your racing career is back in 2012, you had a racing accident, and what did it end up doing to you?
I was in an induced coma for 2 weeks. When they brought me out of the coma, I found out that I'm 100% blind for life. My brain swelled from the head trauma. Compressed my optic nerve, killed it, cut off the blood circulation.
Yeah.
Had just numerous other injuries. My whole right arm has been completely reconstructed. Traumatic brain injury, broke ribs, collapsed lung, just you name it.
But you're still here.
Yes. You know, I credit me being here is me and my car owner, Bill George, were real safety conscious, and the invention of the Hans device. You know, it's sad to say Dale Earnhardt Senior, you know, passed in the, you know, in implementation of the Hans device being required, but that's literally what saved my life. You know, at the end of the wreck, at 175 miles an hour, at the 8th mile mark, the car made a hard right turn into the wall, tore a section out of the wall, went over the wall, went to tumbling, and the car just broke into pieces. There was nothing left forward of my feet. No motor, no transmission, no front suspension, firewall, dash bar, steering column, anything. And so no one should have walked away. No one should have lived through what I lived through.
Yeah. I think the good Lord was probably riding with you, too. But what happened because of that, you didn't hang your helmet up. You didn't say, okay, give me my dog, give me my, you know, my white cane, and you know, let's just move on. What did you end up doing?
After about 6 months of deep depression, I had a dream one night. I went to bed thinking about my late brother passed in 09, and he told me about the ultimate, you know, cool story about four guys from France that built a 50cc motorcycle. They took it apart, flew to the United States with it in their luggage, rented a car, went to Bonneville Salt Flats, and each set a record with without sidecar, with without fairing, etc. And so I went to bed thinking about Chris that night. I was on the verge of suicide, as I could say,
sure.
Cashing my own check. And I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning from a dream that I could race again. I never went back to sleep that night. And so when Jennifer, my fiance, woke up, I told her, I said, I figured out what I'm going to do. I'm going to become the first blind man to race the Bonneville Salt Flats.
Wow.
And so I set out designing and built a 3-wheel motorcycle. In August of 2013, I became the first blind man to race Bonneville. I returned in 14 and set my official FIM class record. What was so unique is it has no exemptions for blindness, because I'm the only blind person in the world that's ever raced without human assistance. I have a special custom guidance system built by a friend of mine, Patrick Johnson, at Boeing Phantom Works, that gives me audible feedback so I know how to stay on course. So from the time, you know, the chase truck at Bonneville said course is clear, no one helped me, no one talked to me or nothing until I came to a complete stop through the finish line.
Oh, my God. I mean, that, dude, that's a movie, too. That's a movie. You think The Fastest Indian was a good movie? That's a movie. Holy mackerel. So I'm sure there's even more positive to this story, because I have a sneaky feeling that guidance system that your friend designed for you can be used in other applications for the blind.
Yeah, you know, the technology is amazing today. As I tell people, I can't imagine being blind 25 years ago, much less 100 years ago. And
yeah.
So it's truly amazing.
Wow. Well, I work with the Blind Institute here in town. We do a rally, and there's he's passed away, but 92 years old, and he was a navigator, and he won every single year. And a lot of people need to get more involved with the Blind Institute, because when I went to the Institute, they would use things like fountains to tell you where you were. One fountain would be had more water pressure than the other. I mean, so many interesting things, because if it ever happened, I mean, no one's ever prepared for blindness. I don't care what you say.
No.
You can tell me
That's
how
right.
you're going to handle it, but you're not going to do it till it's happened. And, wow, this is just unbelievable, my man. So, in Bonneville, God, I haven't even been to Bonneville.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you going again?
Well, I don't know what that future holds. You know, recently I just debuted my Corvette to become the world's fastest blind man, and it's just as much of a show car as it is a race car. And so after my trip to Bonneville 13 and 14, that salt sure is roughing equipment, so I don't think I plan on taking the Corvette just yet. Maybe until the new wears off of it.
Yeah, so... Wow. So now you've got your Corvette. It's a Z06, I think, isn't it?
It's an 08 Corvette base. It does have Z06 rear quarters on it. I bought it as a flood salvage car with no motor and no interior, with one purpose: to build it to become the world's fastest blind man. I've been working on it for 2.5 years.
Where are you gonna run it?
I debuted it 2 weeks ago at the Spaceport in New Mexico at the East Coast Timing Association's inaugural event. And it has a far more sophisticated guidance system than we had on the motorcycle. And so I've been working up 2.5 years, you know, full roll cage. You know, I designed the car. Obviously, I didn't build the whole car, but I do have hands on, you know, working on the car and helping fabricate.
Sure.
But it has a full belly pan, front to rear, blocked off grill, custom ram air, opening in the grill, opening, pro stock style rear wing, full roll cage, GT2 style rear diffuser, over 100 louvers in the belly pan to allow any air to escape that does actually get into the engine bay. So it's 427 cubic inch, 14-to-1 compression, LS3. So it's a serious piece. Made 570 rear wheel horsepower, naturally aspirated.
Now, have you broke the record?
Well, I broke the fastest blind man with no human assistance record. I went 153.8 miles an hour. I'm the fastest blind man in America. But Mike Newman in England years ago went 200.4 miles an hour. He holds the Guinness Book of World Record, and obviously he had human assistance. So I'm going for his record, but also doing it with no human assistance. I want to bring that record home to America.
Will you do this on a drag strip, or will you go to a...
It'll be rather the Spaceport in New Mexico, standing 1.5 mile event, or the Space Shuttle landing site, Florida.
Gotcha.
Johnny Bomber's Proving Ground. So it's that's what we're trying to figure out right now, all the logistics.
Sure.
We had a great first outing, everything went good. A lot of hard work. The team overcame a lot of obstacles. So we're regrouping, have a few things we want to change to the guidance system. We want to take the car to the wind tunnel, A2 wind tunnel in Mooresville, North Carolina, and then be prepared to go after the record this fall is what realistically is looking like now.
And by the way, you kind of forgot one of my favorite advertisers and sponsors, RideTech.
Oh, yeah, the car, somebody asked me the other day, said, how did the car handle? And it was just amazing. It just stuck to the ground.
Yeah.
And with the it has custom triple adjustable RideTech coilover conversion kit, and the car was just rock steady. You know, the RideTech control arm bushings. And what I tell people, they think I'm joking. The RideTech coilover conversion with the Corvette was so easy. I installed all four corners by myself.
I
owned a chassis shop before, so you know I'm familiar with coilovers and parts. And I laid out all the parts on my tables, one of my blankets, and went to installing each one. You know, and I installed all four corners 100% blind, 100% by myself.
Well, you know, it's funny, when I knew I was going to interview you, I kind of messed around at night. You know, I turned all the lights off in the house, and I wanted to see how I could function. Now, the problem is I knew I had sight, so that's one thing I couldn't, you know, replicate. You know what I'm talking about. But when you're used to your surroundings, that story you just told makes perfectly good sense, especially when you've been putting suspension parts on longer than anybody, probably. I mean, on and off, on and off. I mean, it's like brushing your teeth. Well, Dan, you are going to call me back after this event. And, man, I cannot wait to, wow. In fact, I've got a buddy of mine that's a producer. And I know this sounds corny, but he's a producer out here in L.A. I'm going to send him this interview. And I'll bet you any amount of money he's going to come chat with you. Well, Dan Parker, I tell you, I just can't tell you how proud I am of you. And you were put on this planet for a reason, and I think you found it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to come on the show with you. And, you know, one quote I have in life is, you can make excuses or make it happen. And so that's what we're trying to do with the Corvette project.
Well, you've got one other one. I'm not a blind man trying to race. I'm a racer who went blind.
That's right.
You're the man, brother. Take care, and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. The segment brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford, 1595 East Main Street. Go to El Cajon Motor, ElCajonFord.com for new, used, service. Nobody, absolutely nobody, will take better care of you than El Cajon Ford. And we can't thank them enough for supporting Verona Circle Track. Verona is just an unbelievable little dirt track up on the mountain, 4 miles north of the casino. And April 4th is their opening night, if everything goes well and the creek don't rise. We got Dirt Dude on the line, but we also got Todd Salazar on the line. Hey, Dirt Dude, how you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself, Dave?
Good. Well, we also got Todd on the line, and he's going to kind of throw a little bit of an update on what the race schedule looks like in reference to the coronavirus. So, Dirt Dude, hang on. How you doing, Todd?
Good. How are you? We're just playing it by ear.
Yeah.
And as far as what's going on, you know, the weather is not cooperating with us right now.
You noticed?
I was out. Yeah. I've been out there the last 3 weekends digging. I got all the drains open, water flowing, you know, all that stuff going.
Yeah.
But I need time. I need air time. I need time to dry.
Yeah.
It's what's going on is kind of crazy right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. But, hey, the nice thing about Verona is you can sit 10 feet away from each other and still watch great racing.
We can do that up on the hill on the outside and on the east side of the turn 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, this weekend with no racing, oh my, and NASCAR, I don't know if you guys heard, but they postponed the Atlanta race today and the Homestead Miami race next weekend. So people are going to be screaming for their racing fix. And my opinion is April 4th is the time to get it.
I'm hoping. I mean, it's so crazy. My son, just my 4-year-old son, just started soccer. They canceled his soccer for 3 weeks.
My gosh. Well, I guess other than I understand those types of things, but cleaning out the grocery store, taking all the toilet paper, that just makes no sense at all. Makes no sense at all. So, folks,
it took Trisha an hour and 15 minutes to get out of Costco.
I know.
Checking out on Friday.
I'm surprised she got in.
Yeah.
No, it's just totally crazy. All people need to do is be sensible, wash your hands, and if you're over 65, stay out of large crowds and just be responsible. My gosh. But, I don't know what else to say or what else to do, but people just need to, turn off all the news stations for a while and then maybe go back to them about once a week or something. Goodness gracious.
Except for Dave Stahl, right?
Oh, absolutely. You got to say, hey, this is the first time I've actually talked about it today, but no, you're absolutely right. And, this is a great time to pick up a book. This is a great time to hang out with the family. This is a great time to do yard work. This is a great time to try to stop the water, which I know you're working extremely hard. Now, let me ask you that, Todd, for all the water that has, because I got 5 inches in Alpine last week. So I'm sure you got, if not that, maybe even more. Does all this water help or hinder?
Helps the well. Hurts me because the place looks like a bomb went off. So I got to go and fix the roads and fix the slopes and do all that stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I didn't even think about that because you get that much water that fast. You got gullies, not roads anymore.
I had to put my truck in the 4-wheel drive just to get in the pit gate yesterday.
No kidding. Oh yeah, that's serious. Well, I haven't looked at the forecast lately, but I know we're supposed to
it's
get
gonna
hit.
Rain all week.
That's what I heard. Yeah. I don't know. Well, like I said, hopefully everything dries out, and then I guess what the best way for folks to stay on top of what Barona is going to be doing is to go to the website, correct?
Yes, baronaspeedway.com.
Right, or social media, Facebook. You can always stay on top of it there as well. But, everybody I know is hoping and praying that, we'll be able to get the racing off. April is still, a little bit away, so we've still got a few days where hopefully we get, if nothing else, get the weather to start working for us.
We're supposed to do an open practice on the 28th.
Right.
But that ain't going to happen. I mean,
you know that track better than anybody. You know what it can take and what it can't take. So, just listen to what Todd says, folks.
We just got to get everything. We got to get some sunlight, down and the wind blowing, and it just needs to stop raining.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping for April 4th. We're going for it.
Yeah, I am too. I got my fingers crossed, all my Ouija thingies. I've done it all, whatever I can. Because, I definitely, I want to come up there because I want to see Paul Dyke get ready for the season because he is so excited. His car's ready. I said, so have you been practicing? No, you haven't driven it. Well, around the dealership. So I can imagine the customers must have enjoyed him coming out of the side gate sideways, lit up, going down through the front of the dealership.
I went and saw him. I saw him last week.
Yeah.
And I went out back, and I saw the car, and Dave Fox started it for me.
Yeah.
And it was open headers, no mufflers on it.
Of course not.
And everyone looked as soon as Dave started it. And his car is really nice looking. It's a good-looking car.
I know. I mean, I'm really, really anxious to see him get back in it again because I knew he couldn't stay away from it. I said, what are you thinking, get your butt back in a race car and quit fooling around. So I'm glad that's going to happen. Yeah.
I'm excited. I get to spend some time with him at the track.
Yeah.
And ever since, he took the dealership over and all that, I haven't been spending too much time with him, but I'm excited.
Well, he's pretty busy, and I think that's one of the other reasons he decided to get back in a car. And by the way, and Dirt Dude, you can jump in there too. Did you see that video that he shared where that car was coming out of turn 3 and then hit the berm where a telephone pole was and landed on the pace car? Did you see that?
I saw it. Yeah, I saw that one.
Who builds a mound like that in the middle of a racetrack?
At the time, they were thinking that was the safest thing, and then just cut that out.
No, what you do is you get down dirt level, Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, and you surround it with tires or something, but you don't put a mound in the I could not believe that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I know. You don't have any mounds, do you?
No, we don't.
And I can't believe he even posted that, because that made his wife real happy when she seen that.
Yeah,
I know. So, Dirt Dude, are you ready for the season?
Yeah, I'm always ready. I've just been waiting and waiting, you know, because now with the weather and everything, there's nothing to do. It's just like I'm done binge watching stuff on TV, Netflix and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go racing.
No, I'm serious. I can't. And I know everybody, the whole Barona family is ready to get out there and let's get this show on the road. And the schedule's up. Everybody knows what's going on. If anybody wants to get a car, there's places to buy race cars. There's places to get the rule book and build whatever it is that you want to build. But, man, and I tell you, you know, I think, Todd, I think this Hornet class is really going to take off this year, don't you?
IMCA compacts is what they're called.
Oh,
We're IMCA sanctioned for the sport. It's their sport compact.
Congratulations. That's awesome. How many cars do you think you'll have this season?
We have four of them.
Uh-huh. So
and
far.
And I just got another car that we're going to build. So we have four sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping, you know, 10 cars is a class.
Right.
Racing. Hoping, you know, 10, 15.
Right.
20 cars would be a rad class in the front-wheel drive cars.
Wow, wouldn't
that would be really cool.
Wouldn't that be? Have you ever driven a front-wheel drive car out of Barona just to see what it's
like? I absolutely have.
What'd you think?
It was one of those sporty 16-valve Hondas.
Uh-huh.
The thing, it was fun to drive. It sets itself up going in the turns.
No kidding. I bet that's good.
They beat feet. They really get going.
I'll be darned. Well, you know, like I said, maybe this, and it's a great entry level class because you don't have to spend an arm and a leg for it.
$1,000. Get yourself a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Cage it. I don't know the rules as far as a fuel cell, but cage it, knock the glass out, do the front screen, you're good to go.
I'd fuel cell it anyway, just for safety, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would as well.
And put a good race seat in it. And, of course, you know, that's just going to make Dirt Dude all nervous because he's going to want to drive one.
Well, the best thing about it being IMCA, it's all sanctioned. So, like, there's a certain wheelbase. Like,
right.
You can't go, like, they know which ones are the trick cars to go get. Short wheelbase or the high imports with the big, fast motors. So they have screened those out. You can only get a certain class, a certain motor in it.
I think it's going to be
Subarus. And the Hondas, the fancy Hondas.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. All right, everybody, do the anti-rain dance for a while, folks, just so we can get the track dried out so we can get April 4th on the calendar. Bud, thank you both for taking time and calling in. I truly, truly appreciate it. And we've got to still get to KUSI, but we can talk about that next week.
We're going to do Wednesday, I think, of opening week, right, with Paul.
That's right. Paul Dyke. Yeah, he twisted my chain. You're right. We're going to give you a Wednesday. We're going to have fun. Let's do it. Thanks, guys. Barona, Speedway.com, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Fastest half-mile track and just only an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes away from San Diego. And if you've not been to this organization, let me tell you, it is the best dirt racing as far as half-mile tracks go ever. I mean, Don Kazarian, he's the main guy up there. And he is a dirt wizard. That guy can look at dirt, and I know he's chasing puddles as we speak. In fact, guess what, folks? I got Don Kazarian on the line. How you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing, Dave? And thank you for having me.
Oh, man, I've been trying to get you on for a long time, but you are so busy trying to get that track in shape I know you've been getting some rain, so I'm sure that's really high on your list of things to worry about. But so far, so good. Racing season's going to stay alive and well.
Yeah, you know, we're temporarily shut down because of the virus, coronavirus, but I hope to be back in action on April 4th.
Okay.
All the pumps are running overtime, getting all the water out of the facility. We had a great opening night with our Night of Destruction. Had a record car count, 78 cars.
Wow.
Had a great crowd, even though it was cold and windy and cloudy. But we're optimistic. Kim and I are optimistic. We'll be back open in a couple weeks. And, you know, it did hurt losing the World of Outlaws. They were scheduled for March 28th. So we're working with the World of Outlaws and USAC to see if we can reschedule, hopefully, when the Outlaws are back on the West Coast in September.
Yeah, and like I said, all we can do is just, you know, Mother Nature probably is the biggest threat right now. I mean, the other threat is eventually going to, you know, peak and then eventually go away. I think if people are just smart and, you know, and are being realistic about, you know, when they go out into the public, that, you know, just take care of themselves. And, you know, and I got to tell you, folks, and this is not a commercial by any stretch. You go to Paris Auto Speedway, those restrooms are clean as a whistle. The eating area is clean. I mean, Don and his team, with or without the coronavirus, have kept that place in tip-top shape. So I don't see anybody having any issues if they were April 4th comes out and this thing seems to have calmed down somewhat.
Yeah, we're this is our 25th year we're celebrating. So we've been there a long time, a quarter of a century. So we had the place all painted up and cleaned up and ready to go for year 25.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you got? Anything exciting for this season? Because I know you always pull some rabbit out of your hat.
Well, you know, we've got an anonymous sponsor that came up with some money that's guaranteeing the super stocks $1,000 to win no matter how many cars show up.
Really?
I spoke to the individual yesterday, and it appears he's going to step up and also pay the IMCA modifieds and the street stocks $1,000 to win no matter how many cars show up. So that's huge, and that's exciting, and that's going to invigorate our stock car program, which has been coming back greatly since 2011. And our pits are full again with stock cars, so I think we're going to have to start using the outer pit like the old days when we used to get 135 cars in three classes.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're headed back in that direction.
You know, especially in the IMCA classes, I mean, they're reasonably priced. I mean, you don't have to spend an arm and a leg to put a competitive car on the track.
Correct. And speaking of that, I do want to mention we have been developing a new entry-level sprint car. It's got a Quicksilver crate engine in it. We had Corey Kruseman build it. Quicksilver gave us the engine. Corey modified, you know, a little bit and put it in a sprint car configuration, and we tested it for the first time 10 nights ago at Paris. It looks like all in, you're going to end up spending about $8,500 on the engine.
Really?
Quicksilver's telling us it will run upwards of 5 Cs and 20 races a season, so 100 races on it with proper maintenance. And when you need a new long block, you unbolt all your stuff and take it back to the dealer, and they give you a long block for free.
Really?
Yeah. Can you beat that?
No. That is, well, you know what? We need to get those people on radio. I'm more than happy to give them some airtime to talk about that program, because that, you talk about taking pressure off a race team, because you know as well as I do, Don, you know, you'll get some of these young kids and, you know, they want to win so bad, but they know they've got such a limited budget that they don't dare, you know, put the foot to the pedal to the metal, as the old saying goes. This would be just amazing.
Yeah, and the hopes are, you know, once we get the rules package out for 2021, this little SoCal Sportsman Sprint Car Series will run at Paris, Ventura, and Barona. And it's going to be open to kids 14 years and up.
No kidding.
Yeah. So the goal
How much horsepower?
450 horsepower.
Wow, that's definitely get your eye open horsepower.
Yeah, and Corey, you know, Corey, we put 50 laps on it. We ran 5 10-lap sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Corey got out of the car. The first thing he said was, God, I miss this place. And God, that was fun. He goes, that engine's got plenty of power for what we're trying to do to bring in new entry-level drivers. And, you know, hopefully they step up into the 410 ranks with USAC CRA.
Sure. And, you know, and the fact that, oh, wow, that is such good news. Because, you know, it's one thing I like about Parris Auto Speedway, it's truly a stepping stone racetrack. You can get in there entry level, and you can literally work your way up once you get to knowing everybody in the pits, because everybody seems to move up, and then when they move up, there's equipment that's available, and there's no better place to snag great equipment than right there in the pits.
No, I agree. You know, when we first started in 96, we used to joke a lot like, hey, these guys think they're going to go from Paris to NASCAR. Well, what do we have? I think we have 33 guys now that have competed in the top ranks of NASCAR, IndyCar that, you know, came through Paris.
And they still come back. What are you talking about? They always come back.
Oh, yeah. They want to come home.
Well, it's just like, I mean, Corey Kruseman hit it right on the head. I mean, folks, if you don't know Corey Kruseman, Google him. He's the most amazing sprint car guy out there, and for him to say, oh, I missed this track, you know, that should have made you feel really good, because I know you work your tail off, and not just you, but your whole team, to make a good show.
No, we've got I'm blessed. I mean, I've got my wife Kim, got Delocio, Charlie Watson, Coach Steve Aldis, all these guys have been with us for years.
Yeah.
And come race day, we all know what we're supposed to do.
Yep.
Everybody takes care of it, and you know, once we get into the event, that's the easy part. You know, it's just getting the facility ready and you know, well, just imagine trying to hold a party for 3,000 people or 5,000 or 8,000.
Yeah, no
kidding. And you don't know how many people are going to show up.
Right.
So you prepare for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Isn't that the truth? And you know that when you guys get the show going, it's seamless. And that's when people think, oh, well, heck, this is easy. I mean, I could probably run a track like this. They have no idea what goes on behind the scenes and what I know it sounds corny, but what a well-oiled team you have, because you guys have been through it all. Anything's to happen, you guys are always prepared for it. And that's what I like. You're proactive. You're not reactive. And that's the way a track promoter should always be when they're trying to, you know, satisfy the fans.
Yeah, well, thank you for those kind of remarks. I mean, we work very hard at it.
Yeah, well, I tell you, folks, I mean, I've been in the back. I've been behind the scenes. I see what has to happen. And, you know, I applaud you every time because you are such a hands-on promoter. I mean, you do not sit in an office and dictate. You're out there. I mean, you're on the track. You're doing the water truck. You're doing the road grade. I mean, you truly have definitely got your hands on the pulse of Parris Auto Speedway because it's your life. I mean, I don't think I found anybody that loves it more than you do.
No, when Ray Sheets was alive, we'd work out there 10, 12 hours a day, and we'd do anything from plumbing to electrical to you name it. And the joke was, is this how Tony George started?
Yeah, right. It could, hey, but you know what? It could be. You know, stranger things have happened. I would compare you more to Humpy Wheeler myself because you do come up with some crazy stuff. I mean, double stacking cars. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what happens when a promoter can't sleep and you're looking at YouTube and you come across something and you go, I can do that.
Hey,
we can do that.
That looks like fun.
Yeah.
Well, and then you got, Jesus, what's the gentleman's name? He's 70-something years old and he does the Democross?
Oh, J.D. Wilson. He's 82 years old and he's won probably a third of them.
Isn't that amazing? When I got, and Scott was great enough to get him on for an interview, and oh my gosh, that guy is, of course, you can't recognize the car because he's smart. I mean, he is totally protected in that car.
Yeah, it's a tank.
It's a tank. Thank you very much. The only thing missing is the barrel. Well, I tell you, boy, that's great. So people can go to the website. They can see everything that's going to be going on for the rest of the season. You got to be there for the fireworks display. You got to be there for Turkey Night. I mean, heck, you just got to be there every single night. You get tickets online. You know, it's just a great, great time. And really, nowadays, for the whole family, I mean, this is really, I mean, you need to get the family out and come to the track. And I don't know if it's the track or what, but your food is unbelievable. I eat burgers out there every time I go, and I've never tasted a better burger. I'm serious.
No, we've had Family Fair Concessions, Dale and C. Smith, since day one.
Wow.
They've been great, great partners, and they work as hard as we do.
Yeah.
And they produce, they have a pork chop this year, a deep fried pork chop.
Oh, no.
That I tried on opening day that was absolutely spectacular. So the food's great. Entertainment's great. You get out in a decent time. We try and have the show done no later than 10:30.
Right.
We shoot for 10 o'clock. And, you know, you're back home and the kids are asleep, you know, tucked away.
Deep fried pork chop.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
You just hooked me. You just hooked me. You hooked me bad. Yeah. And I've been trying to lose weight, but I'm going to get me one of them next time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a blast. All right, buddy. You know,
we are the home of Major League Sprint Car Racing in Southern California. It doesn't get any better than USAC CRA Series. NASCAR Series, IMCA Modified, and our most popular show is our Night of Destruction.
Boy, that is wild. Take the kids, folks. Bring Grandma and Grandpa. You're going to have a blast. Keep on ParisAutoSpeedway.com's website. That way you can keep up to date as to what's going on in case there's any weather changes. But they're also on Facebook there, and they stay on top of that website constantly. So, buddy, thank you very much, and I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your Sunday. So now go get back out on the dozer and push some mud.
Yep. Hey, Dave, thanks what you do for our industry and everything else you do.
Thank you, buddy. It's my pleasure, and I love doing it. So you take care and say hi to the family.
I will. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, hey, guess who's on the line? Norm DeWitt. He is just freaking out. There's no motorsports. He can't go anywhere. I can hear him whining in the background, but him and I are crying together right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This segment brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Check them out for all your automotive needs, whether you're a race car driver or just you want to keep your stock vehicle or your tow truck or your off-road vehicle or your buggy. Certified does it all. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net. That's CertifiedCarCare.net. All right, we got Norm DeWitt on the line, and he's got great news. He has got a special deal on Making It Faster, too. He's going to autograph the books. And what else are you doing?
Well, I said I would pay the shipping.
Wow.
In the continental United States, and $25.
No kidding. And you'll autograph it.
And I'll autograph it.
Wow.
So probably the easiest way to reach me is makingitfaster@cox.net.
Okay, there you go. And folks, I got to tell you, I've read the books. It's a great book for somebody in the family that maybe they're kind of hard to buy for, but they're gearheads and they want to learn more about the open wheeled world. This would be the man you want to get a book from.
As I said in my Facebook post earlier, I said something to the effect of, get the author to sign it while he still can.
Yeah, you and I are kind of older than dirt, but that's okay.
We're in the target audience here for this particular pandemic.
I know.
I don't know if you've heard, Gavin Newsom, I don't think it was an official edict, but he came out and he said an hour ago that everyone who's 65 and older should no longer leave the house, and that you shouldn't, and the bars should close, and restaurants are having to reduce their seating capacity and all that. I don't know if this was actually an edict, but this is what he came out and said today.
Well, of course he would.
Well, you know, he has access to information that you and I only dream of, so.
That's probably true, but I don't know. To me, I'm not, and you and I are in that window, but you know, I'm just gonna, you know, I don't go out and hang out in big crowds anyway. I mean, I don't go to sporting events and I don't, you know, I don't do that. So, you know, the worst case scenario, I'll go out and get breakfast with the wife and, you know, and that's about the extent of it. But no, this all too will pass. It's just going to take a little bit of take a little bit of time for everybody to stop hoarding toilet paper. And my wife and I actually went to the grocery store last night around 9:30 just for the hay of it. And I couldn't believe the devastation. I mean, what happened to sharing? I mean, you need to buy all the pork and beans. Can't you just buy a couple of cans? Crazy.
Well, when, you know, you've got probably at least a third of the population that thought this was all some kind of joke, that all of a sudden when they realize that, you know, that's not a joke anymore,
right,
and they are way behind the curve.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know, like I said, it's, you know, you just got to be, just don't panic. That's the main thing. Just don't panic. And the main thing, take care of your elders. If you got, you know, if you got in-laws that maybe shouldn't be leaving the house. My 91-year-old father-in-law was going to go to the gym today. I go, no, you're not going to the gym today. Go home. You know,
well,
I mean,
to give you an idea of how things are in Italy right now, a friend of mine, I mailed her a mask because without an N95 mask or something close to, you're not allowed to leave the house.
Wow.
And she wasn't stocked on food and supplies, and they weren't stocked on medicine, and her elderly father needs medications.
Oh, wow.
He was with one of the Formula One teams for probably 20 years.
Wow.
And I mailed her an N95 mask the other day. And because it's basically telling them to state that, you know, the police will pick you up if you leave the house.
Wow.
And you don't have either some printed form that says you can or a mask.
No.
And so that's how bad it's getting in Italy. The most recent numbers there were about almost a 7% fatality percentage of the number of people that have died to the number of people that have gotten it.
Well, Italy is a very old populated country anyway. I mean, the majority of the population is over 65, right?
No, I don't know about what the majority number is, but the average age of an Italian is 45. Which is about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years older than it is here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So their numbers are probably going to be higher than ours. And but, you know, I'm a big fan of mathematics, and the math shows that this is likely to be somewhere around near, 150 times as bad as swine flu.
Yeah.
So I would not underestimate this thing.
No, no, no. And Brandon, my expert board op, just what did you find?
It's 23% of Italy's population that's over 65. So
that's a chunk.
There you go. Yeah,
that's a chance.
And so it's for real, and the effect it has had on the racing schedule is staggering.
Staggering.
IndyCar was trying to get a show off in St. Pete, and right before they were supposed to go out on the track, they pulled the plug.
Well,
they already had made it so there would be no spectators, but then they realized,
that's,
you know, we're just fighting a losing battle here. And so they pulled the plug on the first four races of the season, which includes the Long Beach Grand Prix. Long Beach is trying to reschedule. I have no idea as to whether or not they're going to be successful.
No, I mean, and then, you know, Patricio, what's his last name? Patricio? Can't think of it, but it's like
driver?
Yeah, he's
coin driver.
Yeah, Indy driver.
Yeah. Yeah, IndyCar driver for Dale Coyne Racing.
Well, I had him scheduled for an interview next week on Tuesday, and they canceled that.
Well, everybody's just kind of in kind of a quandary at the moment. Now, Formula One, after, you know, trying to pull off Bahrain with a no audience event, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Bahrain has now been either canceled or postponed. The China, Vietnam have both been canceled or postponed. Australia, which was going to be happening today, was canceled or postponed. And MotoGP is already canceled/postponed the first four motorcycle Grand Prix, and now everybody's looking really hard at Jerez in May, or Jerez for your Spaniards.
Right.
And that's looking increasingly iffy, and now I hear that Formula One is looking at their May events, which, if memory serves, is the Spanish Grand Prix at Circuit Catalunya and the Monaco Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we all know what's normally around near the same time as Monaco, and it's this little racetrack in Indiana.
Yeah.
And that's going to normally have 250,000 plus spectators.
Sure.
And your guess is as good as mine as to where we're going to be 2 months from now.
Yeah, you have, well, nobody can guess it. You can kind of watch to see what China's doing as far as, you know, it seems that they have peaked and now it's on the downside, but we don't really know that for a fact. But let me ask you this, since you're heavily into the motorsport community, you know, let's eliminate the fans. How many people actually go to a race, the drivers, the crew members, the support staff, the radio, TV announcers? That's a lot of people.
My guess would be the last IndyCar race that was held at Fontana had more staff and media and miscellaneous team personnel than were in the stands.
Yeah, that's my whole point.
So it's got to be in the thousand, probably at least 1,000 or 2,000.
Yeah.
Especially at Indianapolis when you got 33 teams and God knows how many sponsors to please and all that.
But, you know, I don't even – do you think anybody would even go if they decided to say one of the race series decided to heck with it, we're going to do it anyway? I think at this point you can say that, you know, but I don't know if anybody's going to – would even go to the race.
Do you like having liability insurance?
Yeah, no kidding. But I think, I get it. Now, would you rather watch it on TV with no people in the stands? Would you have a problem with that?
I don't really care, but the problem is then you're putting all the team personnel at potential risk, and you're putting all the corner workers at potential risk, and all the track officials. And
not talking about the TV people, all the cameramen, all the production crew. Yeah, no. I think this was a smart move, much as it kills me, you know, not to have any motorsports on. I was watching Twitter, and some people were complaining and said, all right, if you're going to show – you know, if you're not going to show a real race, don't show last year's. Show something like in the 80s or 90s, which I had to kind of agree. They must have listened because they showed a special on Neil Bonnet. Was that this yesterday or today? I can't remember which. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, NASCAR is another story altogether. World Superbike has been scrambling their schedule because they've been canceling races. It's going to pretty much be a memorable season in all the worst ways.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what's a good way to get out of it? They need to get your book. They just need to get your book, curl up on a couch with a cup of tea in the rain, and just lose themselves in Making It Faster 1 and 2. And how do they get that book?
Making It Faster at Cox.net.
All right, buddy. Let's hopefully you get flooded. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you, Dave.
All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break, but don't go too far. Gun Sports Radio is in the wings, and they are locked and loaded on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.